All right, take your Bible, please, and it's Romans chapter 12. It will not be as familiar as often is the case. It won't be at the first of Romans chapter 12. If you will look at it, chapter 12, verse 9. And let me read from verse 9 through verse 13. I'm reading. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Don't miss those words. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Those verses. Today I want you to think with me as we cover these verses. There will be some words that I will point out to you when we come to them, as something that is to be so in each of our lives. When you got saved, the wonderful fact is that God delivered you because of the penalty that was paid by His own Son at the cross in the shedding of the blood. So your sin was paid for. The Savior paid for it. And the Father and the Son and the Spirit, who've never had a disagreement, all were involved in this wonderful way by which God intends to save all who will. Did you get my word? He will save all who will. Some folks won't. God wants to save them. In fact, if Judas had repented 10 minutes before the end of life, God would have forgiven him. But he would not. And so you were delivered. Sin washed away. Made new. From the inside out. Not conformation, but transformation. So when that took place, that is not all that took place. There were certain things given you at the point of salvation. One of those things was a love for God. Now, obviously, as soon as you were saved, if anybody was wise enough to do so, then they would begin to teach you and disciple you so that you could grow in grace, get your feet on the ground. Theologically, I'm not talking about understanding the deeper things in the Word. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about that kind of condition that takes place in the heart when someone who cares enough for you and loves you enough that they will teach you the very basics that are so necessary for a brand new Christian. When people go astray, it's always a bad thing. It's never a good thing. Don't tout the fact that because you went astray and came back, you're better able to deal with problems. You're never better off when you go astray. Nobody ever is better off when they go astray. The Lord God wants us to be righteous. He wants us to live according to the Word of God. And so therefore, I have a responsibility when I look at this love letter to be very careful that I take in every word. Every word. And if you're saved, that responsibility is yours also. It's not just getting saved and it's a freebie. No, it's getting saved and then you're free to live for the glory of God. So that sin no longer has any kind of domination over you. And so when Paul begins to deal with this from this verse 9, you'll find that in that verse between 9 and 12, then good and evil and fellowship will be dealt with. Now I want you to notice that here is a series of instructions. Notice, abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. In other words, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things. Don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. And you have a responsibility. Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes and no. About every moment of your life in everything that you do, it's a matter of yes and no. You say, what do you mean? I mean, you submit to God and you resist the devil. That's the yes and no. So on a daily, moment by moment basis, each one of us in the room who are saved, we are to submit to God about everything. Not just in some things. And then we're to resist the devil about everything. Not just some things. So I have a yes and no. So I am responsible to submit to God. On the inside, I ought bow the knee before I do so on the outside. Are you listening? Now you see, when I submit, I turn everything over to the one who saved me. Did you get that? When I submit, I turn it all over to Him. Then the Spirit of God, because of His office, He gives me the guidance, the leadership that I need. And I need it. And I must not go it on my own. I must not try it without Him. I have a daily battle to submit in such a way that I take my selfish self and I throw my selfish self on the ground and I put my foot on the chest of my selfish self and I have nothing to do in response to the selfish self and I say, to God be the glory, I want to be led by you and live for your glory, so to God be the glory in everything I do. And the wicked ones, right there. So I submit to God. When I submit to God, I can do a spiritual dance. Yeah. Don't think that's carnal. That's not carnal. No, I'm not talking about getting on the platform and doing that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about in my heart. And so now, I make my decisions moment by moment about good and evil. about good and evil. And then when I deal with this matter that it is necessary for me to submit and resist, then as I make that decision, I settle down on the rock of my salvation, and I immerse myself in the Word of God, and I stay settled in those two areas. Now, if I do that, then I have an anchor that keeps the soul. If you're obedient, you're happy. If you're obedient, the joy bells in your soul ring. If you're obedient, there's no discord. There is harmony. My Father and myself. He saved me. And I am to make melody in my heart. I'm to be in tune with Him. Now, when you have one string on the violin, you can have melody. But if you want harmony, you have to have two strings. Or three. Or four. And it's never sensible for me, second string, third string, fourth string, for me to move in a direction where I want to be first string. Now stay with me. Because one of the easiest things for someone to do when someone else is driving and you're not pleased with their handling of the vehicle, you're a backseat driver and you want to tell them what to do. May I tell you something? That you can never tell God what to do. Will you pay close attention and obey when He tells you what to do? You say, well, I don't know. All you got to do is look at the book. Look at the book. So here am I saying yes and no, submitting. And I need to understand that with this new mind, this new way, this new heart, with all of this being so, then I am to love without hypocrisy. No pretense. No makeshift. The love is to be genuine, and the love is genuine that God gave to me when He sent His Son for me, and when He saved me and gave me all that He gave me, then that love that He gave me is genuine, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, but I have to stay in touch with Him on a moment-by-moment basis in order for that love of His in me to be expressed to others. Amen. So I want to be careful. And this love without hypocrisy, that deals with selfishness. Now there's not a one of us in this room that does not struggle with selfishness. We all do. So this love, my response to God, according as what God wants me to be, could I tell you this? That no matter what I am not, when I ought be something that I am not, did you know that God is able to make me what I ought to be if I just submit to Him? That's all it is. So, the next time that you find yourself in a conflict, ask yourself the question, am I being submissive to God? That's it. And so with all of this being so, this love, this blessing, so I begin to express what God has given me, and this love affects my character. That's the first word. This love affects my character. I mean, let us have no imitation when it comes to Christian love. There's no counterfeit love allowed. This must be a genuine love expressed toward God and expressed toward others because God has saved me. If I'm saved, I have His love, and I am told to love the brethren and sistren. Oh, yeah. Would you please point out to me there in what God expects of me where I'm allowed to make an exception? Huh? Now, you can't find it. No exception. I'm to love the brethren. And the place where that's especially important is here in this assembly. Now, I will be quite frank with you, and I'm not going to say who, but some of you are not, you're not very lovable. And of course, I must admit, I'm not either. But that's not the issue. The issue is that I'm to love. So Brother Andy, if you're not lovable, that's not the issue. The issue is, do I love you? And I'd better. That is, I'd better if I'm going to be right with God. And if you're not lovable, the more I love you, you know, an amazing thing takes place. The more I love him when he's unlovable, the more lovable he becomes. Did you hear me? That's the way it works. And so I want to be sure that my deeds, my thoughts, my actions in this formation and building of my character since I've been saved speaks in such a way that I don't leave doubts in the minds of others as to whether or not I'm saved. But love not only affects my character, it also affects my contacts. In my contacts with brethren, I have a responsibility to show grace, to show brotherly love. This love is a proof of spiritual life. I'm to be kindly affectioned the one to another. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Did you get that? So you thought I said that apart from the truth. There it is. It is quite plain. And so therefore, this is love's preference. You see, love is the lubricant which makes the church movement run smoothly. Did you get that? You want an assembly to run smoothly? The lubricant is love. And so you're moody Well, you ought to get over it. But even if you are, do I have the right not to love you? No! 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 I have been given the freedom to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and express myself in the Spirit so that whether or not you're moody, I still love you. Huh? See, we're a little bit careful to say amen on that one. And so, this is not the place for seeking notoriety. Instead, this is the courteous preference, the recognition of others. I mean, this is as to honoring each. Hear me now. So that they come first before me. Oh, aren't we having a good time? So I can be led by the Spirit. It's affecting my character and affecting my contacts. And if you checked it, you'd find that verse 9 introduces love in a general way. And then in verses 10 through 13, it shows how genuine love is to function. So we're dealing with how it functions now in this verse. And so Paul says, first, to be devoted to one another is brotherly love. Huh? Now stay with me here. To be devoted to one another is brotherly love. I am to be devoted to you. And you are to be devoted to me. And may I tell you something? There is no room for to be ugly in my response to you over something. Oh, let me say that again. There is no room for to be ugly in my response toward you. And it doesn't matter if you're on a level here for leadership or if you're down here in some form of leadership. Did you know it's as easy for someone to become fleshly when he's using the sweeper as it is for someone who's leading the choir? And I'm never to respond in an ugly fashion because of the love in me from God to anyone, no matter what they do. Now, that's not leaving out the necessity for correction. But it has everything to do with my disposition toward you. And so, I'm to be devoted, you are to be devoted to one another. And I am to be in such respect for you that there is an honor. There is an honor. I want you to understand something here. Verse 9, 10, and 11. This love affects our character, this love affects our contacts, and this love affects our conduct. Now let me explain. In verse 11, he says, not slothful in business. What does that mean? Let me just tell you right off the bat, this idea here, this business, is not referring to secular affairs. It's not. It's not referring to your business. This has an entirely different meaning. It is the right kind of busyness or earnestness when it comes to handling things that I'm involved in. Let me just mention a couple of things. Don't be lazy about what you do. Now get ready, because you're going to throw a tomato at me. That means that if you're not on time and you agree to be somewhere on time and you don't show up on time except for a broken leg or a car wreck or something, do you understand that you have become a thief that stole the other person's time? How you like that? Don't frown. Don't be notoriously late. Why? Because it doesn't send a good message. Just listen to the amens on that. So, one other area. If I tell you I'm going to do something, then I ought to do it, right? And if I tell you that I'm going to do it at a certain time and in a certain length of time, then I ought to do it, right? Well, do I find any reason why I can make an example? Now, wait a minute. Listen, if you... Here. The Schmitz, bless their hearts. They're having trouble with their house because of water damage. And it's a mess. If you want to check it out, ask Brother Ken. He'll show you on his phone. You didn't know that, did you, Brother AJ? See? He's broadcasting your trouble. But it's only because people can pray. Let me make that clear. So, if someone says they're going to show up and help them with it, then they ought to show up and help them with it, right? And by the way, if they say they're going to be there at a certain time, they ought to be there at a certain time, right? And if they say they're really going to do it, they ought to really do it, right? Is that what you do? Huh? Is that what you do? Don't be late. Keep your word. Why? Because you are a representative of the kingdom of God. That's why. And so I want to be sure that my conduct affected by love is responsible enough to do these things that are so desperately important. And then, verse 12, look at verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Did you know that love affects our convictions? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, praise, patience, prayer. And the Christian has that anchor that I mentioned for the future. He has a hope, and it's settled. It's not a hope that wishes. It's a hope that's all settled, and it's not just vague and sentimental optimism, but it's hope as bright as the promises of Almighty God, and He always keeps His promises. So should I. And so, we're not to rebel in tribulation. And we're not to rashly accuse God. Why me? Why not? We're to be patient, knowing that God is too wise to make any mistake. And He's too loving to be unkind. And He's too powerful to be thwarted in His ultimate aim. Huh? So love affects my convictions. And then love affects my concern. Look at verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. What does that mean? Well, the idea here is, on my part, I'm actually pursuing opportunities for hospitality and pursuing opportunities to be able to give to help make someone else's life more pleasant. Did you hear that? I'm giving to help make someone's life more pleasant. A late preacher had this to say: be good to everybody because everybody is having a tough time. See, you in your life daily, you have things going on that are very tough. And nobody else knows anything about it except your God. But here's what your God can do. Your God can speak to the heart of another Christian. And He's done that just recently. And when He speaks to the heart of another Christian, He puts a persuasion in the other Christian to do something for the Christian that's having a tough time when they don't even know what the tough time is about. Huh? What about that? Oh, yeah. That goes on all the time. The big glitch is that often we don't respond to it when the Spirit of God does something like that. That's the problem. And so, if a person is mourning, and recently there's been a great deal of that, then you and I should identify with that person or persons in this matter of sorrow, and we ought to give what comfort we can. And that first begins in the heart, and then it begins in the action. There is nothing like grieving. Nothing like it. And to have someone come along who has your interest at heart and would sit down with you and pray with you or sing you a song or give you some money or mow your lawn or buy you a new battery for your car. And when your persuasive power within you on the part of the Spirit and you obey, not only it is a blessing to the person for whom you do it, but it's a great blessing to you. See, when here's the thing. I have to understand. When God gives me, and He gives to me all the time, when God gives me, then here is the action. No. No! When God gives me, there's the action. There's the action. And the issue is not, I can't afford it. That's not the issue. The issue is, am I willing, no matter what, trusting my God to supply my needs? Am I willing to do what the Spirit of God wants me to do to help someone else? That's the issue. And when that's true, you will see folks as sweet as honey toward each other. Do you hear me? It will be so. There are some folks that live in such a negative situation all the time within themselves that really they have a face as long as a Missouri mule. And you say to yourself, are you saved? Ought I not have a countenance that expresses my gratitude to my Father? And then because of it, to move in a direction to help another. Huh? If that is not so, then I need to spend some time alone with my God to get straightened out. Huh? Oh, yeah. You know, when you talk with some people, you love them, but they're astray, they're wayward, and you do want to help them. And you pray for them. And you do things for them. But when you talk to them, it's like talking to a post. There's no response. May I ask you a question? Does that describe your case? In my heart, there should be such a brokenness. Really, there should be such a brokenness that it's very difficult for me in cases where I'm touched to keep the tears back. You know, Karen, your dear husband today, it's an ugly thing. It's ugly. And bless his heart, He wants to be here. But he can't. And so this afternoon, the body will spend some time pleading with God to raise him up so that once again he can fill this pulpit. And while you're praying and pleading, you can't keep the tears back. You imagine the agony. Marguerite, bless her heart, how many times has she fallen? Bless her heart, and she's here today. Bless God! And whatever I can do in my heart because of God's love towards someone else, I ought to do it to make their living more pleasant. That's Christianity. We've come so far down the pike in our sordid, calloused culture. We rush so fast we have no time to see what's important. And so, here it is. The love for one another. A serving love for one another. A praying for one another. And a meeting of one another's needs out of our own resources. It uses the word distributing. And so, anyone's needs, the Spirit of God can touch your heart about it. I mean, I want my heart to consistently be touched by the Spirit of God toward living right and toward doing right, in order that it may be said that my church is so important to me and the people are so important to me that I'm not stingy about praying or about giving. But I'm so pleased to be a part of this great thing that God is doing. I'm so glad to be a part of it. And so I want you to remember, as we come to a close, love affects our character, verse 9. Love affects our context, verse 10. Love affects our conduct, verse 11. And love affects our convictions, verse 12. And love affects our concerns, verse 13. Here, then, is Paul's pattern or portrait of the Christian as a brother. He enjoys his relationship to his brethren, and he showers and shoulders his responsibility to other brethren. And in so doing, he exercises both gifts and grace. And as a consequence, becomes increasingly like his Lord. Did you get that? That's the conclusion of it. Be like Jesus. this my song. In the home and in the throng, be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Well, what does it mean to you? I mean, that's the so what. What does it mean to you? The Lord is working me over. And He's using some of you to do it. And that's okay. But I want to be able to finish well. And so, it's not hard for me to say to some folks here, I love you. It's not hard. Why? Because you're lovable. It's harder for me to say I love you when you're not lovable. But whether you are or are not is not the issue for me. The issue for me is that I love you, period. Huh? I got a question. Do you love the people in this body that way? Don't answer. Do you? There's not a one of us who yet has arrived at perfection. I think it's wrong for Brother Ken Fuller to come with that nice a tie and not give it to me. But in my heart, all of this that has been boiling, that's what the word fervent means there, boiling in my spirit with love, concern, care, so that I could do all I could to make your life more pleasant. That's what it means to me. And the whole reason for it is the heart of my God. That's the reason for it. Our culture won't do it. Even your friends can't produce this for you. The Spirit of God is the production agent for you. And in your response to Him, whatever you can do, you say, yes. Yes. Without hesitation. I don't have any trouble loving Don Parker. Now, it isn't because he has a good looking face. But it's because he has a sweet heart. And he does. Would you like a testimony? Ask his wife. I have no trouble loving Matt Thames. Valitha told me to. But what does it mean to you? What is personal to you today concerning these few verses that are the very heart of applied Christianity when it comes to our duty, but our love for one another? Huh? Let's pray. Our Father, help us. If anyone needs help, my Lord, I'm the one. But there may be some others. I need to just be straight. And I need to just bow the knee. And I need to just submit to you and resist the devil. That's what I need. Oh God, in this Woodside Baptist Church, under the very capable leadership of our pastor and his son and other brethren, let me remember that what I've said this day is for me. And it may be that it's for another. Help us.